When a name makes the news, our knowledge about them is pretty much limited to what is reported on them. And the unfortunate result of that practice is that a life is reduced to a story with quite the incomplete picture. And that's certainly true of U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was one of the Americans, one of the four Americans slaughtered in the Benghazi attacks. His life and who he was has been really just reduced to a political debate when you get down to it. But fortunately, you can now learn about Ambassador Chris Stevens, the human being, and more than just a human being, a caring individual and dedicated individual, thanks to the decision by my next guest to share the part of her life that she had with Ambassador Stevens as his fiance. Her book is A Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens. She is an actress whose roles have included General Hospital and Acapulco Heat, among many others. Lydie Denier. Lydie, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And her website is lydiemdenier.com. I have a link over at our website as well. I want to start off, I guess, maybe as a review slash editorial, because as you can imagine, I've had a lot of books placed before me over the years in similar situations. And there are those out there who can be dismissive quickly by saying, uh-oh, someone trying to cash in on a death or a tragedy. And I'll tell you, listening right now, you'll learn very fast when you read Lydie's book, A Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens. She wrote this out of heart, care, dedication, and a passion for the truth of not just the person that J. Christopher Stevens is still in spirit, if not physically still present, but also the need for the facts and the truth about what happened in Benghazi still to be sought for and to be presented, certainly before Election Day gets here. So, Lydie, on behalf of those who respect people who are dedicated, as Chris obviously was, having read your book, thank you for bringing that part of his life forward and for sharing your part of the part of your life with him, with us as well. You should be very proud of what you did with this book.
Thank you. I am very proud. It was 3 years in the process, and it took me a long time because I wanted to be true to his belief. I wanted people to know him like I knew him. I wanted women to fall in love the way I fell in love with him. And he's the type of man that you could never forget. I guarantee you, you will never find one of his, you know, old ex-girlfriend who would say something bad about him. He was not a bad person. He was a good person. And he had not a bad bone in his body at all. And so I wanted to honor him. I knew him for a very long time, for many, many years. And what happened should have never happened. I needed to know the truth because Chris died too young, 52 years old. It should not happen. And, you know, when you have a car crash, when you have cancer, when you have, you know, things happen, but this type of death should never happen.
Talk about, you said you were had known Chris for a lot of years. I mentioned the intro, you were his fiance, and you stayed friends for a period of time after that. How long were you two together, and how did you meet?
So we met in Cairo, Egypt. Actually, the date is September 11th, 1994.
Ironically.
Yes, I know. And believe me, when he died on that date, that's the only thing I could think of. It was devastating. And I was on a series called Tarzan. I was playing the role of Jane. And my series was sold in 87 countries around the world, including Egypt. So I flew to Egypt because I was a guest of honor to promote my TV show, but also to promote a newspaper that was in French called Al Haram. And back then I was not an American citizen. I was on the H-1 visa. So every year I had to renew my visa, then have it stamped in my passport at an American embassy. And usually I used to go to Paris or to Tijuana, Mexico, which is closer to me. But this time I told the woman organizing the party over there, I said, listen, I need to stop in Paris first. She said, no need. I know someone at the American consulate in Cairo. I will call him, bring you paperwork, and we'll go see him. You'll stamp your passport. And I was a little worried. I've never been in the Arab world before, so a little worried, I must say. And it was him. At the time, he was a young consulate officer, and he was the one that, you know, we met, and my heart stopped when he came to get me downstairs in the lobby, and he walked, and he had, he was 6'3" and a half, blonde, blue eyes, and that beautiful smile. I'm just like, oh my God, who is that guy? And it was Chris. It was her friend that she knew. And he felt the same thing. There was just something really awkward because I've never experienced that feeling. I mean, yes, I loved people before, but him, it was different. There was something about him that I knew it will affect my life. And I was acting a lot, doing lots of television series, and he's in Cairo, I am in Hollywood. How are we going to deal with it? And all that within 5 minutes. And Chris said, we chit-chat a little bit. He said, give me your paperwork, I'll be right back. And little did I know, and he told me that a few weeks later when we saw each other again, he came back in his office and he said, I am so sorry. Can you come back tomorrow? Because the computers are down. And my heart just dropped like, oh, my God, I will never go back in the States again. I'm not going to be able to go back to the country. And I couldn't. They had the party had scheduled for me a cruise. I was leaving the next morning. But he brought my passport back in the evening at the party, and we exchanged numbers, and the rest is history.
And that's what Lydia writes about in The Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens. We're talking with Lydia Denier. LydiaMDenier.com is her website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, Lydia, when people hear the term ambassador, the title ambassador, and the name that follows, they typically think, it's someone who got the job, a political favor, a big campaign donator. But to say the least, Chris was not one of those political hack token hires. He was probably one of the most knowledgeable and experienced people ever to be placed into any ambassador position, especially considering where he was going to be stationed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chris was extremely knowledgeable. Chris was an avid to learn everything. When he was in a country, he was learning about its culture, its language, its people, the food, what they love, it was amazing. He knew, he spoke French beautifully. When I first met him and he brought back my passport at the party, he told me, "Voici votre passeport." And I'm like, oh my God, you speak French? And he said, yes, I've learned French in Morocco, out of all places. And because he was over there for 2 years, he was teaching English. And but he was extremely knowledgeable. So when people say, oh, why did he go to Libya? Well, because he had been in Libya twice before. First time in 2007, he was a deputy chief of mission under Ambassador Crest. And the second time in 2011, he was a special envoy over there. And so it was only normal that he was asked to be the ambassador to Libya because he was the one with the most knowledge about Libya and what was going on. It's just that when he arrived over there in August of 2012, he was amazed how the country changed so much, so fast, within a year. And he knew, and he told Gregory Hicks. Gregory Hicks was his second in command in Tripoli, Libya. And he told Greg 2 days before he passed away, he said, it's getting too tough. I think, I'm not going to finish my ambassadorship. So Chris was not the type of guy that, oh, you become an ambassador in Paris or in Italy because it looks good. No, he wanted to be an ambassador. He wanted to do something that matters. He wanted to do something for people. And he loved Libya. He loved the people in Libya. And it's sad that his death was over there. But he worked really hard. He worked for the State Department for 30 years. And he went up the ladder. He didn't cheat. He didn't ask for favors. He did it by the book. He worked hard. He learned. He succeeded. And it's unfortunate that he didn't get to finish what he wanted to do.
We're talking with Lydia M. Denier. Her book, A Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens. LydiaMDenier.com is her website. Lydia was the fiance of Ambassador Stevens and reveals much of their time together and provides the human aspect, not just the professional news report aspect that you and I listening have been limited to regarding who Chris Stevens was, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And I know, Lydia, the bulk of your book is the personal, the human side, but you do touch on the situation, the politics, the mechanics of all that. When you look at, you know, with the Obama administration reactions, for example, they said it was a YouTube video that was the catalyst. Instead of radical Islamic terrorism, they dismissed it pretty much as a spontaneous protest. When you hear things like that, being so emotionally attached and having had Chris such a part of your life, what was your reaction to all that?
Well, first, I had to touch on the government and the politics because I wanted to know why that happened, especially nowadays. You know, there's no reason for something really, really bad to happen. You pretty much know what's going on ahead of time. But when they told on the news, he died because of a video that and what was happening in Cairo, what I did, I Googled the movie. It's actually a short. It was on YouTube. I looked at it, and I said, no way. It's not possible. It did not die because of that video.
I want to interrupt you for a second because I had an author on a couple of weeks ago. Before the Obama administration came out with that statement, the video had, I believe, a couple of thousand views. After the Obama administration, that only then did the video go into the multiple millions of views that it had after the fact. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to remind people listening of that fact.
Yeah, I mean, which is good. That means I was not the only one who was curious to see what type of movie did this guy do for the ambassador and Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods for them to die. And when I looked at it, it's a short and short movie, and there's nothing. It to me, it was not enough to kill people. And so as I did my research, sure enough, you know, that no one from the State Department, no one called Chris that day and said to him, okay, this is what's going on in Cairo, so just be aware of the surroundings. No one called him. It's actually Gregory Hicks, his second in command, who was in Tripoli, Libya, who called in and said, hey, Chris, have you watched the news? He said, no, why? I said, oh, this is what's going on in Cairo. You know, what he did after that, Chris, he watched the news to see what was going on over there. And, you know, but nobody called him to even to let him know that what was going on. So obviously, it was not that important to them. You know, it's like after his death, they had to blame something. They had to blame someone. And, you know, that poor guy who did the video ended up in jail.
I saw an interview with Hillary Clinton, and in it, and if you go to my YouTube page, I put the clip up there quite a while ago, and fortunately it's had quite a few views, so I'm happy people want to see the facts. And a quote from Hillary in that interview I have there, she said, quote, no lives were lost in Benghazi. And on the cover of your book, A Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens, you include the obligatory welcome to the State Department photo with Hillary and Chris shaking hands. When you look at that photo, knowing that Hillary referred to Benghazi as no American lives were lost, what goes through your mind?
Well, when she said that, and I heard it too, that she said, we haven't lost a life in Libya. And then, you know, people were shocked. It's like, okay, has she forgotten about the four heroes who died in Benghazi? So then she had someone from her staff saying, well, what Mrs. Clinton meant is that no lives were lost on Libyan soil, because the embassy, the American embassy, is actually an American territory. You know, that's why, you know, when you have French embassy, it's the French territory. That's, you know. So that's what she meant. To me, it's like, no, I think she forgot.
Yeah.
Pretty much that, oh, yes, my ambassador died over there. And, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but she never mentions his name. She never. It's like it did not happen. She doesn't want to deal with him, with the whole thing. She just, like it never happened to her.
It is a sad story, but through what Liddy shares in her book, A Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens, again, you get the incomplete picture up to this point with the news reports and the various social media posts, and I know people have good intentions when they use that one photo of Chris in the torturous condition that he was in, and I get it, but it's wrong to do that because you're using a life and a human being for a political point, which you should be doing with your own words and an expression of your ideas. So I hope you, if you're one of those people doing that with that photo, please stop and respect the life that was lost. And after you read A Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens, Liddy's book, you'll have a greater respect for that life, his sense of duty. Read his confirmation hearing testimonies. Just really clues you into professionally who he was and the personal times that Liddy shares in her book will help you realize the special human being and the caring human being that he was. And I have a feeling for Liddy that he forever will be, because of the impression I believe Chris made on people, with his family, with the people in his life. He is one of those, as we say, unforgettable people, and someone I think you should be introduced to, and that's what Liddy does with The Voice for Ambassador J. Christopher Stevens. LiddyMDenier.com is her website. And Liddy, no one, I say this frequently, well, not frequently, but for the people who really come through with something out of the heart and out of the gut, and no one's obligated ever to do that, but you do it, and what you wound up doing was just honor Chris so much, as well as helping us remember not just the loss of Chris, but also of Sean Smith, Glenn Gowdy, and Tyrone Woods, the other three who were slaughtered on that day in Benghazi. So thank you for doing that. I know I just know that Chris is smiling, that smile like you have in that one photo of him, and he so frequently had yes, with his book. He's smiling down at you because you did good and you did what was right. And knowing Chris now, as I know him through your writing, if you do that, then you're doing good. So thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. There was no way I was going to put those horrible pictures of him, you know, dragged on the streets and bruised. And you know, it was not, you know, I would never do that. And there's also a video that's out there that when he's dead and he's at the hospital in Tripoli, and they actually filmed him being dead, and I think it's horrible, and that should be, you know, put down, definitely.
Again, Liddy Denier, thanks so much again for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.